Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Good morning, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled Series 4, Chapter 32, entitled Entanglement in Fruitive Activities, and text 26. Jnanamatram Param Brahma.
Jnanamatram Param Brahma.
Paramatmeshwara
Puman. Paramatmeshwara Puman.
Drishi Adivi Prita Pave.
Drishi Adivi Prita Pave.
Jnanamatram Param Brahma.
Jnanamatram Param Brahma.
Jnanamatram Param Brahma.
Jnanamatram Param Brahma.
Paramatmeshwara Puman.
Paramatmeshwara Puman.
Drishi Adibhi Pritak Bhave.
Drishi Adibhi Pritak Bhave.
Jnanamatram Param Brahma.
Paramatmeshwara Puman.
Drishya Adibhi Pritak Bhave.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is complete transcendental knowledge. But according to the different process of understanding, He appears differently, either as impersonal Brahma, as Paramatma, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the Purusha Avatar. Purport. This is a little long purport, but it has a lot of philosophical understanding and knowledge, so please listen carefully, attentively. Purpose. The word Drishi Adibhi is significant. According to Jiva Goswami, Drishi means jnana or philosophical research. By different process of philosophical research, under different concepts such as the process of jnana yoga, the same Bhagavan or Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood as impersonal Brahman. Similarly, by the Eightfold Yoga system, He appears as the Paramatma. But in pure Krishna consciousness or knowledge in purity, when one tries to understand the Absolute Truth, one realizes Him as the Supreme Person. The transcendence is realized simply on the basis of knowledge. The words used here, Paramatmeshwara Puman, are all transcendental and they refer to Super Soul. Super Soul is also described as Purusha, but the word Bhagavan directly refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of six opulences: wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. He is the Personality of Godhead in different spiritual skies. The various descriptions of Paramatma, Ishvara and Puman indicate that the expansion of the Supreme Godhead are unlimited. Ultimately, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept Bhakti Yoga. By executing Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga, one has to eventually approach the Bhakti Yoga platform. And then Paramatma, Ishvara, Puman, etc. are all clearly understood. It is recommended in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that whether one is a devotee or a fruitive actor or liberationist, if he is intelligent enough, he should engage himself with all seriousness in the process of devotional service. It is also explained that whatever one desires, which is obtainable by fruitive activities, even if one wants to be elevated to higher planets, can be achieved simply by execution of devotional service. Since the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, he can bestow any one of them upon the worshipper. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed himself to different thinkers as the Supreme Person or Impersonal Brahman or Paramatma. Impersonalists merge into the impersonal Brahman, but that is not achieved by worshipping the impersonal Brahman. If one takes to devotional service and at the same time desires to merge into the existence of Supreme Lord, he can achieve that. If someone desires at all to merge into the existence of Supreme, he has to execute devotional service. The devotee can see the Supreme Lord face to face, but the jnani, the empiric philosopher or yogi cannot. They cannot be elevated to the positions of associates of the Lord. There is no evidence in the scriptures stating that by cultivating knowledge or worshipping the impersonal Brahman, one can become a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor by executing the yogic principle can one become an associate of the Supreme Godhead. Impersonal Brahman, being formless, is described as adrishya because the impersonal effulgence of Brahmajyoti covers the face of the Supreme Lord. Some yogis see the four-handed Vishnu sitting within the heart, and therefore in their case also the Supreme Lord is invisible. Only for the devotee is the Lord visible. Here the statement Drishi Adibhi is significant. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is both invisible and visible, there are different features of the Lord. The Paramatma feature and Brahman feature are invisible, but the Bhagavan feature is visible. In the Vishnu Purana, this fact is very nicely explained. The universal form of the Lord and the formless Brahman effulgence of the Lord, being invisible, are inferior features. The concept of the universal form is material and the concept of impersonal Brahman is spiritual, but the highest spiritual understanding is the personality of God. The Vishnu Purana states, Vishnu Brahma Swarupena Swayam Eva Vyavastitaha. Brahman's real feature is Vishnu, or the Supreme Brahman is Vishnu. Swayam Eva, that is his personal feature. The Supreme Spiritual Conception is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Yad Gatvana Nivartante Tad Dhamma Paramahama. That specific abode called Paramahama is the place from which once one attains it, one does not return to this miserable conditioned life. Every place, every space and everything belongs to Vishnu. But where he personally lives is Tad Dhamma Paramam, his supreme abode. One has to make one's destination the supreme abode of the Lord.
Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakya Sakshunirunyatamdena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Vayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Shrikapada Kamalam Gurum Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sarganatam Vitantam Sajivam Sagrajatam Savadutam Varijanasamitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sarganatam Sri Visakam Vitamsa హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగపతి గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగే రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభాను adverse fruitic activities, and then entanglement, the movement of living entities, and the sinful activities and its reaction and everything. And this one is entanglement in fruitive activities. So this chapter, he actually criticizes those who are not devotees, and he explains different activities actually. So so far, if you see, we'll try to understand the context of this verse in this chapter, so then we can understand what's happening actually in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this chapter, actually, when Kapiladev starts this chapter, he starts talk about the first verse, talks about the materialist, that is Grahamitis. So how he explained to his mother, first he talks about Sakaman Karma, that is a gross materialistic, doing activities in terms of want to enjoy. So he explained, if you see that most of the people, normal people comes under this category, that they work very hard to enjoy, to get the money, and they even perform sacrifices, they perform religious rituals, they give some charity, but they have no interest in Krishna consciousness. Why are they doing that? Because they want something in return. Even when they're performing some religious activities or rituals or sacrifice, especially focus on demigod worshipping, because they want some result back and they want to enjoy that. And this idea, this everything leads to impersonalism. So Kapiladev says in Prabhupada, say this nothing but rascal now. He was very heavy. Prabhupada always sees the opportunity to cut that impersonalistic mentality that does not creep in devotee's mind. In fact, if you see Srila Prabhupada, he always look for an opportunity to glorify and introduce that devotional service and devotion in that purport. So at least if anyone reads at least one purport, then his life is changed and he gets the direct message. So that is the importance of Srila Prabhupada's purport actually. So he tells, like, how a king has a kingdom, This is like a rascal, I'm rascal. That is, I can worship any god, I can worship any form. It doesn't matter whether I worship one person or this person or that person, because it's all going to be the same. So this is nothing but, you know, it's a kind of impersonalistic idea that I can worship anyone and then I get the same destination. So these are the, and then they're performing religious activity or religious ritual because they want to go to heavenly planet. That is their whole idea, that they want to enjoy in moon. So the life in moon is nothing but 10,000 celestial years. And they want to enjoy it for the long time. But the problem here is, if you are going to moon planet or any other planet in this material world, everything is going to vanquish. Everything is going to be destroyed. So then Kapiladeva explains this, that what are the, this, you know, what are the people and what. And then he requests his mother, please take this devotional service. So the devotional service, the devotees, how one devotee can be not trapped into this, in this kind of idea that, you know, let me, this is one life, I want to enjoy this, I want to, you know, do. If he has that satisfaction, so in that verse, Kapiladeva says that is prashanta devotees, that means they are satisfied. They are intelligent because they are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Bhagavad Gita also we see that less intelligent people worship the demigods or forefathers, and then those who are intelligent, they take up to devotional service. And not only that, they have, their consciousness is purified because they are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important for us to find that satisfaction and inner peace in Krishna consciousness, so that we don't get allured by these kind of fruitive mentalities that I want something, that, you know, let me, I was better doing what I was doing before, or I was getting, you know, enjoying thing. So this is very important for devotees. So in that section, Prabhupada gives an example of Arjuna. Usually the king wants to fight and wants to conquer because they want to expand their kingdom and then enjoy. But then Arjuna, because he's a devotee, he understood that he was fighting not to expand his kingdom but to please Krishna. So this is very much, you know, clear. And that's why he is a prashanta devotee, that he is satisfied and peace. So this is sakama, karma, and then how, you know, that is one section, and then he introduced, you know, devotional service. And then next is Kapiladeva talks about nishkama karma, that is doing activities not for personal enjoyment but for giving the result to the God. So they are very detached. They don't have any proprietorship, are not doing activities out of false ego. They are very much particular dutiful, they're doing their occupational duty, and they want to, and they enter the kingdom of God. So in this, when they do religious activities or religious performance, so it can be done in two ways. That is, you know, it talks about pravritti dharma and nivritti. So pravritti means that, say, doing the rituals or religious everything so that I, you know, the motive is I can enjoy. I'm doing this so that I can get the enjoyment. And their aim is sense gratification. So we can see that people do certain sacrifice, certain rituals, certain, you know, their aim is so that I can enjoy. This is their motive of doing religious rituals. So the other thing is the nivritti, that is acting for Supreme Person. Now when that is connected to Krishna, then that becomes bhakti yoga. But most of the time, it is, you know, then further in the section Kapiladeva explained that they are not focused towards Supreme Personality of Godhead, but sometimes they worship God Brahma or, you know, Vishnu, who is a planetary expansion, or the yogis. So when they worship, so in that section, we see they worship Hiranyagarbha. So Hiranyagarbha is nothing but Garbhodaksha Vishnu, who is a planetary expansion of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and when they worship, they will go to Brahmaloka. After leaving their body, they will go to Brahmaloka and they will wait till the Brahma leaves his body. When Brahma leaves his body, then all will go into Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Now, to get that kind of liberation also, you need at least some aspect of bhakti. So you cannot get liberation if you don't have bhakti. As simple as that. So they need some kind of bhakti. And then there are other yogis who worship Brahma. But for them, there is no liberation. Because they think Brahma is the supreme person. Brahma is the, you know, who is going to give everything. So when they leave their body, they merge into the body of Brahma, and then Brahma leaves the body and then go to the Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and then when again creation starts, they come back. So, you know, when people worshipping demigod, or in this case, for example, Brahma, Brahma cannot give liberation. In that, for matter of fact, that any demigod, anyone cannot give liberation. Only Krishna, only devotional service, only Krishna can give liberation. What to speak of Brahma giving liberation? Prabhupada, in the section, in the Purport, Acharya also write, even Brahma also sometimes can't get liberation. So Brahma sometimes has this Veda Drishya, that is independent mentality. So Brahma thinks that he is as independent as the Supreme Personality of God. And when Brahma doesn't have bhakti, and when he leaves his body, as if he is getting liberation, but he will come back. But then not only him, along with him, the other sages are there, Maharishi, Kumaras, everyone is there. They also come back, take birth again. But this is not happening in all the universe. There are only certain Brahmas and sages who don't have bhakti, so they will be coming back. Not only him, whoever worshipping him also will come back. So this is Nishkama Karma. Then again Kapiladev says, so therefore, please take direct devotional service. So it's like, when you give sometime easily something, we may not able to appreciate or we take it for granted. But then, when we have some experience of this material world or suffering, then we can able to relate the purity and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness better. So, but then here Kapiladev is explaining what is the scenario if you don't have bhakti. Clearly the process, the destination, the difficulties and the problem, everything, and then requesting his mother about devotional service. So he explained that part, then he take to worship of devotional service. Again he explained the Nishkama Karma activities, then again he is requesting the mother to take up devotional service. This time says, this is direct. Why we have to take direct shelter at Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart. No indirect process. If you see the Acharyas, our Acharyas, they present the philosophy, they present the Siddhanta very direct, no beating around the bush. If you see Prabhupada or Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, they cut, they are real sadhus actually. They don't, because they are not after any followers, or they are not after any fame, or they are not after any personal agenda. All they have to do is present Krishna as it is. So Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he is a Simha Guru. So when he walks, the people are scared. The Mayavadis are scared to come in front of him. When he sees a Mayavadi, he catch hold of them and ask them, why you are cheating the people? Why you are cheating people? You want money? There is many other means you can make money. Why you are cheating people? Why don't you give direct? You are cheating people. Don't cheat people. And then he give heavy chastisement. And then he sent. So this is Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. You know, even disciples are scared to speak to him. Because when he sits in Gyasasana, even, you know, if anyone speaking, one time what happened, that he was sitting in Gyasasana and Habai Babu, you know, Prabhupada, he was there in the class and then he was speaking to one elderly person. So he was speaking and then he stopped. He said, you know, he pointed first to Prabhupada and he chastised, why you were talking to him? You have better things? And then he told the elderly person, you have something to say? Please come and sit here, Vyasasana. I'll sit down. You say whatever you want to say. Everyone can listen. So he is like that, you know, very, very strict. But strict means it's not a negative connotation, because he is really want to present and he wants to give this Krishna consciousness, because that's the only thing which is lacking in this world. And that is an urgency. Even Prabhupada, there is no compromise. So when he was visiting US, so the even I think Dr. Mishra, the Mayavadi guru, when he was staying, he was saying to Srila Prabhupada that you need to compromise your principles, that you need to take wine, you need to wear, you know, coat, leather jacket, and you have to be one along with them. Then only they can be able to appreciate and everything. This is very strange. You need to compromise. And Prabhupada said, you know, I do not compromise. I am not here to adapt the culture of American people or American, you know, thing. But I am here to give. I am not here to take, but I am here to give. So Prabhupada, you know, even he is very uncompromised and direct in his preaching. So this is Kapil Dev's request, that please take up this process. This is a direct process and take shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then again, after that, again Kapil Dev, he gives a summary and criticizes Sakama Karma. That is gross materialistic. He is very heavy. He says that they are only interested in the three, you know, of the elevated process, that is Trivargika. We saw how they are only interested in sense gratification, economic development, and religious rituals which give them more enjoyment. They are not interested in liberation. And he compares them as a stool-eating hogs, because they are not interested in the pure nectar of Harikatha, but they are interested in so many other, you know, novels or scripture, other things, other material things. So again, so Kapil Dev says that doesn't matter you are, you know, following Prabhuti or Nivritti or Sakama, Niskama, just give everything away. Don't worry, but just take worship of Supreme Personality of Godhead with devotion. And that means you start discharging devotional service. That automatically gives all the result. So after that he says that by just performing bhakti, one gets the knowledge and detachment, which one has, you know, other process he has to endeavor for it. But just a side product. Bhakti, when you perform bhakti, it is interesting that you are performing bhakti to get the, you know, love of Godhead, or having that relationship with Krishna, But then as a just a, you know, as a side product, you will get this detachment and knowledge, and you know, because it reveals in your heart. You don't have to make personal endeavor to know, or you know, to struggle or to give up things. But it's a natural thing for a devotee to give up and to know of the knowledge part, now transcendental knowledge. So then he explains about the detachment, and then he talks about knowledge. So here in this verse talks about the knowledge, that is, in one line Prabhupada explained in the purport, that transcendence is realized simply on the basis of knowledge. So there is one absolute truth. So many times, you know, there's a comparative study, or people ask, you know, how you have so many gods, and sometimes they ask, is a god is formed, or form, you know, with form or without form, is it visible or invisible, is it light or is it all pervading? So we have to see that realizing the absolute truth can be possible in three features. That is Brahman, then Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Brahman is the all-pervading nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Paramatma is a localized aspect, and the Bhagavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Bhagavan, when you say Bhagavan, it addresses the personality of Godhead. The Bhagavan title is not used for Brahman or Paramatma. And the Bhagavan means one who has six opulences. So, why, when we, as I said, if you want to get merged in impersonal Brahman, or you only want to experience the Paramatma, you have to worship Supreme, that means you need to have bhakti, and by worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can get this. So that's the verse in Prabhupada explained that if you want to if you want a fruitative result, or if you are liberationist, or if you want to merge, direct worship Supreme Personality of Godhead, but with full seriousness, tivirena bhakti. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada writes that the most fallen, the most fallen is the first person who get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then you know, it's very uplifting, because you know, in Kali Yuga most people are fallen. You know? And one think, you know, I'll be the first in the list, because I'm the most fallen. Then Mahaprabhu gives supreme mercy to me. Then Prabhupada writes a second line, but he has to be very sincere and serious. If you are considering most fallen, then you have to be very sincere and serious about that. Then you are eligible to receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here also we say one should akama sarva kama moksha kama udalati tivrena bhakti yaditam purusham param, that one approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead with any motivated result, but if he performs seriously, then his result he will get it. And because, you know, the personality of Godhead has six opulences, for him to give anything which is of material nature, of any result or anything, it's very easy. The only thing which he hesitates is the pure bhakti, that is love of Godhead. So we have to be very careful in what motivation are we doing our service, or what is our an intention began taking devotional service. Because devotional, every day we say in the morning that chanting of Hare Krishna is not an auspicious ritualistic activities. It is not yet another ritual where we do this so we get our things fulfilled.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, we may come with that intention to devotional service, as Krishna says, that one may be distressed, one is after wealth, one is after knowledge. That is okay because we have come with some certain motivation. But that is not when we realize, you know, that is nothing, then at least we should correct ourselves. It's like, you know, somehow or other we are coming to bhakti. And we might have some material motivation. And the material motivation is satisfied, then what? So then, you know, then that person is lost. You don't know, oh, okay. It's like, we go to, for example, hearing lectures, anything like, you are jogging or something, and then you are thirsty, and then you saw an hospital, and then you go for asking water, and they gave you water, and they say, you know, you are also diseased or something. And they check, and then, you know, I say, no, I just came for water. No, you have to be get treated as well because you have some problem. So he got the water and he's saying, nah, I need to go back again. No, he said, no, you have to, you know, your problem is this, we have to diagnose, we have diagnosed it, we have to cure you. And that person is bewildered. No, I just came for water only, I've done it, I'm not going to go back again. So one may be in that situation that some or other certain motivation we have come to devotional service or bhakti. After satisfying, after fulfilling, we should not be, you know, aiming to go back, but at least understand the new goal that we have to get love of God and we have to go back to God. So then one can reform himself and get the process right. So then, so to achieve any result, if you are following jnana or yoga or any path, to achieve any result of that path, you need to have bhakti. Without bhakti, one cannot become associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada here in Prabhupada writes that in any of the scriptures or any of the Puranas, wherever you will not see that a person follows the jnana path or yoga path and become an associate of Supreme Personality of Godhead. To become an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to perform bhakti. So, in a condensed form, Rajar is like, the logic behind this is that there is one Bhagavan, he is perceived as different form by different worshippers, with different sadhana. So sadhana can be, you know, any like jnana or yoga. So different worshippers perceiving different form with different sadhana, but that one Supreme Personality of God, that is Bhagavan. And sometimes he is visible or and invisible. So when he is invisible means he is Brahman or Paramatma. And his visible means when he is incarnating as a Bhagavan or the incarnation, he also has invisible form with him. The Paramatma and Brahman is included in Bhagavan. So when he is visible, he is also having the invisible form. So this we have to understand. So now, that process, then he explains about how to do the devotional service, that is worship the lotus feet, and what is the result? The result is Brahma Darshanam, that is, you will be able to see God face to face. Also means realization of self-realization. So when we are engaging in devotional service, so we have these 9 angas, hearing, chanting, remembering, different process there. So when we are engaging, so that our consciousness gets purified. This is very important. While, for example, chanting or hearing, or we may not have a proper consciousness before doing an activity. So, you know, sometimes like we hear in Bhagavad Gita that we know this activity is wrong, but we are forced to do the activity. What is this? Arjuna asks. So this is lust. But then the other side is that we know certain activity we have to do, but we don't want to do. For example, chanting. We know we have to do chanting, but we keep this as a last priority, or we really not looking forward to take our beat back. It is like a side secondary process. Like sometimes you're going somewhere walking, or sometimes going here and there, then you take your beat back. Because while going there, I can finish 2-3 rounds. Or while driving, or sitting, or so it becomes a secondary, and you calculate while this distance, that, So your main process is something, and then your secondary process is chanting. So you know what you have to do, but you don't want to do. So this is like, this is our problem. And our consciousness is not pure. We are not, while taking the first chanting, or first beat, or first mala, we are chanting, we are not in ecstasy. But the thing is, after finishing your round, what is your consciousness? That you can elevate, that you can evaluate, or that you can assess. Your consciousness is bad while starting the chanting, but after finishing 16 rounds, or after finishing whatever number of rounds we are doing, what is your consciousness you have to see? Are you really feeling bad that you are leaving chanting? Are you ever there that, I am finishing this round. We are very happy actually. After finishing round, we are very, very happy. Oh, some or other finished my round. This is our consciousness. We have to work on our consciousness. This is like, you have a very important person appointment. We always want, for example, some guru coming, or some senior devotees coming, or even, materially speaking, some, great personality. We want to always be with them. Oh, yeah, I want to be, he's going there, I want to be. We think, it's only 2-hour meeting. The lecture could be 4 hours. He stay in my house only full day. But what about chanting? Chanting is nothing but Krishna is with you. It's an appointment, it's a personal darshan of you with Krishna. And it's your relationship, that's the time where you can develop the relationship with Krishna. And we want to immediately snap it whenever time is done. So this is our consciousness. So we have to work on this and check our consciousness. What is your consciousness after chanting? Is it purified? So this is very, very important. Because that's the only thing Prabhupada had with him to give it to people. When he went to US, it's only the hearing and chanting, that is Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting. And with just one bag of kartal, he was chanting, and he was spreading that consciousness to all the people who are attracted. How is it possible? Because he having that pure consciousness. And we hear in Bhakti and devotional service, this devotional service is the result of devotional service, that we get love of Godhead, we'll be easily transported to spiritual world, and we'll be having certain relationship with Krishna, having fun, so many things. But to get that, we need to work now. We need to work on that. It is not like, just because we are in Krishna consciousness, just because, we are in devotional process, it will automatically happen. No. Yeah, we will get certain, result. But to get that, we need to really work on our sadhana, or real work on our whatever activities are doing. So, maybe sometime, as this question, yesterday one devotee also asking that, what is important? I'm doing physical service, or I'm doing chanting, I'm reading, but physical service also is there. So, but this chanting and hearing is our primary service. We cannot compromise on chanting and hearing and do, you know, whole lot of services. This chanting and, you know, hearing, everyone has to do. And by doing that, then only you can do other services. If you don't chant or you don't hear, no matter time, you will not be here. Then what is the point? You are not here, then how will you do service? This is very important, because if we don't cultivate and take energy and time to invest on this, sooner or later, when the body is not cooperating for us to do any service, you will be forced to do chanting and hearing and you will not have taste, then you will be miserable. So if we, when we have energy, when we have time, when we have, you know, then we have to work on this and, you know, trying to improve our chanting and hearing, that will help us in a long run. And moreover, by chanting and hearing and by working on our internal, then our consciousness, especially the service attitude, is developed in a proper way. If you ask, you know, this service is better or that service is better, you know, all service is good if you have a proper service attitude. If you don't have a proper service attitude, then any service is a burden. Doesn't matter, whatever service is there, we want to cut short of that service. We want to find a corner. We want to do as minimum as possible to just keep the service. Or we are always looking forward to give this service and then take that service. Or that person is doing that service is very good. I want, when that person will leave the seat, so I will do that service. What about your service then? The whatever service you are doing, simple or, you know, complicated, doesn't matter. Whatever service is doing, you have to, you know, equip yourself and do it properly. And for that, you need a proper service attitude. And with the service attitude, only you can see hand of Krishna in that service. Otherwise, you will just say it's just a mechanical one. If you don't have the proper service attitude, we won't see the hand of Krishna and how this service is giving pleasure to Radha Vallabha. We cannot see it. We will just see this just a mechanical, you know, it's a burden. And I want to get rid of this. This is not our attitude. And this is not our consciousness. Probably you can be, you know, skillfully mastered the service. But what is the consciousness? We don't see the hand of Krishna. So this is very important in working our process and working for ourselves. Very, very important. Because otherwise, you know, it's just a matter of time, we will not be able to get any taste in devotional service. And, you know, the last line, you know, is over there, one has to make one's destination the supreme abode of the Lord. Reading is light, but then if you meditate on that, it's a big task. And you have to do it in one life, like, you know, you need to really work on it. There is so much obstacle. See, if you read, you know, it's interesting. If you read Lilamrita, if you read the Prabhupada journey, you won't find in Lilamrita, you know, journey that Prabhupada is finding some difficulty internally. That Prabhupada is down, or, you know, discouraged, or, you know, he was morose, or, you know, he had some, you know, problem. No. Prabhupada said, you know, I'm a person that I cannot be discouraged. One person, he was sitting in that, you know, in the, near the New York subway, he was sitting in the chair, and then, you know, he was alone and sitting for a long time, and the subway conductor, he saw him. And he asked, you know, he thought, you know, this person is completely lost. This person is, like, you know, sad, or, you know. Then he asked, you know, what are you doing? You don't have any money? You don't have any money? And Prabhupada said, you know, actually, I have a lot of people and I have a lot of money and I have a lot of temple. It's just the time is separating us. Don't think, you know, externally the circumstances is very disturbing, but internally Prabhupada is always in Vrindavan. It was Gaura Purnima, and there was a big celebration in Mayapur, Gaudiya Math, and then Prabhupada in New York, struggling to find a place and to establish Krishna consciousness. And he was actually relishing, because what is the point, you know, being there and enjoying Gaur Purnima, but here I'm actually relishing because I'm following the orders of my spiritual master. This is more pleasing than me there in the festival dream. So if you see the obstacle, you know, Prabhupada writes so many obstacles actually, not just, you know, started after Krishna consciousness, but before Krishna consciousness, and from the time when he met his Guru Maharaj till the time he left it in Jaladuta, there were so many obstacles actually. One after another, he was thinking he's a nationalist, then his family obligation, then there was, you know, fire in the mark, then he wouldn't be able to get the, you know, paper to print, no place, business collapsed, no ticket, you know, there came out of the family, and he went to Delhi, you know, so much of obstacle. It is not an easy journey. But Prabhupada, you know, for him, is like, you know, he is focused, and any obstacle come, you know, it was smashed. Because he was internally, like, you know, always connected with Krishna. That's what we want. But right now for us, externally everything is set. We have beautiful temple, we are not different from Vrindavan, Prabhupada said. We have all the three dhams, a lot of festival, you know, already Sunday feast is cooked. But, you know, everything is set externally. Our you know, close to temple is there. Programs are there, festival is happening, everything is happening, but we are finding difficulty in internal. Imagine we have to start a temple. Imagine we are banned to do harinam. Imagine we cannot distribute prasadam. Imagine there is no festival conducted and we have to do it in a hall every festival. Imagine there is no bhakti visha, imagine there is no devotee. How the situation will be, where we will be then. Because, you know, everything is there, it's natural that we take it for granted, and this process I can do it slowly, steadily, at my own pace, no? It will not work. We have to work, and it has to be really, really, grab this opportunity. So I'll leave there. And if you see any corrections or questions or comments. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.